Well, there is some teamwork right there. Amazing what you can do with a little teamwork. Well, good to have you guys here. Good to have those of you at our house campuses who are joining us today. What I've been trying to do in this series, wanting to do, is to stretch our minds, to stretch our thinking some. And today, I've got a very specific goal. I want to stretch our thinking when it comes to what we're involved in. I want to stretch our thinking when it comes to how we use our time, how we use our energy, how we use the talents that that we have. So let me just give you right up front what my goal is. So you're not kind of wondering, so you're not kind of trying to guess, you know, what's going on. My goal today is to try to get every single teenager, every single adult who is here, you feel like this is your church home, your church family, and you appreciate what God has done in your life, what He's done in your family's life, and yet you're kind of on the sidelines in terms of service and involvement. My goal is to get you off of the sidelines and into the game as far as being a part of one of the strategic ministries, one of the strategic teams that makes us Metro, that makes Metro, Metro. So that's my goal today. I'm going to try to do everything in my power to try to convince you, to try to paint an attractive picture that will get you to want to get involved. Okay, so that's where we're heading. That's the goal today. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're kind of checking things out, or you're not really a church person, you're back for the first time in a long time, this is like a great, great weekend for you to be here, because the message isn't geared at you. So you can just kind of kick back and relax, and you don't have to feel any guilt at all today. May this be the first time that you haven't felt guilt at church. You know, so that's good, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons it's great for you to be here today. That's a positive thing. We try not to do the guilt thing around here much anyway, but anyway, that's one of the reasons it's a great time to be here. Secondly, you're gonna find out what makes this church this church. Why the hype? Why are people excited about coming here? And what you're going to discover is that it's not one single thing here or there. It's not just one thing, but it's a bunch of things that actually come together in order to provide this almost like irresistible environment where, you know, even if I wasn't the pastor here, I would want my family, I would want my kids to come and be a part of this church. But if you're here today and this is your church, you're involved here, but you're not, you come, but you're not really involved in service, it's probably for one of three reasons. One is you didn't think we needed anybody. You didn't think we needed anybody, and we're going to clarify that and kind of clarify the difference that this can make, serving, getting involved can make in your life. The second reason why you may come and you appreciate what God has done in your life, but you're not really involved, is because you're an American. And here's what I mean by that. You may have never really thought of it in these terms, but as Americans, our goal, okay, isn't this true? Our goal is to be autonomous. Our goal is to get to the point in life where nobody tells us what to do with our time, with our money, with anything, where we're able to call the shots and determine what we're going to do. We want to be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it. I mean, isn't that why we have worked so hard? Why some of you've retired early to be able to do that? Some of us were working towards being able to retire. I mean, there is something in me, there is something in you that causes us to want to get to that point in our lives where we're able to determine totally and completely without anybody else controlling things what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and nobody tells us anything about what we're going to do with our time, what we're going to do with our talents, what we're going to do with our money, with our resources. And you know what? I I don't think there's anything wrong with that goal. And even if I did, you would ignore me and you would continue to pursue that goal. So there's no reason to try to put guilt on anybody or anything like that. But the reality is, I think it's fine. I think that's just part of our culture, really. I think it's part of kind of the DNA that we have as Americans. We want to be autonomous. And maybe there will be a day where we all get there. Right, where we all, you know, we all get to be autonomous. We retire early, and we get to kind of do what we want to do. And if we're individuals of character, what we'll do at that point is we're going to reinvest our time, our energy, what we have into things that really matter. If we're not really people of character, then we'll just go out and we'll play more golf and we'll go shopping more and stuff like that. But either way, it's a good goal. Now, some of you, when you start thinking about this, you go, well, wait, Paul. I mean, if I were to like get involved in one of these silly team things, if I were to like start serving and that type of stuff around here, then I'm gonna get like more hooks into my time. And what you need to understand is I'm trying to get all those hooks out of me. That's kind of my goal, is to get as many hooks out of me. In fact, you say, Paul, what I want is I like to be able to get up on the weekends and just choose at that time whether I'm going to go to church or not. But if I get on one of these team things, like I start serving and I'm one of those silly things, then, man, I'm gonna have to be there. And that's not what I'm not wanting that. I'm going to have to be there. In fact, I may have to be there early. People may be calling me, and they're going to expect me to be there. And, man, I'm wanting less of that in my life. I mean, that's just not what I'm trying to get to. And if that's you, you know, I get that. I'm with you there. But that's why some of you would push back. I'm not wanting any more hooks in my time in my life. So I understand that. And then the third reason why some of you would say, you know, I don't know if I want to serve or get involved. And this is kind of associated with the second one. Now, number three is that as a Christian, either you don't know or you've forgotten that God has a very, very specific plan for your life. God has a very, very specific plan for your life. Part of God's plan for your life is that you take the talents, the abilities, the gifts that God has given you, and that you use them in tandem, in conjunction, in partnership with other Christians to do something that none of us can do on our own. That's part of God's plan for your life. In fact, if you were to come up to me and you were to say, you know, Paul, I would really like to know God's will for my life, I could tell you with absolute certainty part of God's will for your life. Now, I don't know everything that's God's will for your life. I don't know who you're supposed to marry. You know, I wouldn't know who you're supposed to buy this car or this other car, or whether you're supposed to move to Chicago or not. I wouldn't know that. But I could tell you with absolute certainty that part of God's will for your life is that you take the talents, the abilities, the gifts that God Himself has given you, and that you use those in tandem, in conjunction with other Christians to accomplish what none of us can accomplish on our own. It's part of God's will for our lives. And I'm not trying to guilt you or anything like that. In fact, if today, if you come to a point, I mean, I've told you what the goal is, but if you come to a point today and you go, you know, and you just decide, I don't want to be a part of one of those, you know, whatever, goofy teams. I don't want to be on any list. I don't want people calling me. I don't want that. You know, I want to have the freedom to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. And if I choose to show up at church on a weekend, I want to show up when I want to show up. And I want to be able to come in and sit in my little spot, because you've got your little spots where you sit almost every week. I want to sit in my spot, and I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to sing. And then I just want to leave when I want to leave. And then that's it. I don't want to be a part of a ministry. I don't want to serve. I don't want to be involved on that level and that type of thing. And if you decide that, here's the good news? God's kingdom is going to continue to move ahead, okay? The church is going to survive. You're not that important, and I'm not that important, okay? What God is doing in the world, it's going to push ahead. It is going to continue to go ahead. So that's really not the deal. That's the good news. God is bigger than you and me. What he is doing is so much bigger than you and me. Here's the problem, though. It's not that the church isn't going to be okay. The problem is that you're not going to be okay. You see, that's really the issue. And some of you may go, well, Paul, you're just talking about this because you're the pastor here, and you need to talk about that. What you need to know is if you were from another city, like, let's say we're from a church in a totally different state, and we were like sit down across the table like this, and when we were talking, I've actually had these conversations with people from other states, from other churches and stuff. What I would want to say to you is you have been called by God. You have been designed by God to take the gifts, the talents, the abilities that he has given you and to use those to serve in tandem, in conjunction with others, to do something that you can't do on your own, regardless of how talented and gifted you may be. It is part of God's plan, part of his very design for your life. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So if you have your Bible, if you would open it to Ephesians, we've been in this series stretched, walking through Ephesians. So we're going back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're actually bouncing backwards some verses that we skipped last week. So we're going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. And in these first few verses that we're going to look at, it's what he's kind of doing, he's setting up the context, and he's kind of introducing the main point that he's going to make in this section of Scripture. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. We're going to throw it up here on the screen as well. It says, there is one body, and you're going to see this word one lots of times here. So there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, what's the point of all this one? He's getting ready to tell us something really, really important. And he's saying, I need you to understand the context of what I'm talking to you about, what I'm getting ready to tell you about. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, there's this big one, this big one, and you are a part of it. Okay, that's what he's getting at. There's this big one that we're all a part of. And even though the person next to you is different than you, you know, red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious. And in his sight, even though the people around you are different, and we have different backgrounds, and we have different families, and we have different jobs, and different talents, and all these differences, even though there are a lot of differences in this room, there is this oneness. There's actually huge. In fact, you may not even have known about it when you received Christ and you became a Christian, but at that point in which you received Christ in your life, God placed you in a body. Now, that word body is a term that is used in Scripture, body, or the body of Christ, to refer to the church. And you're a part of this body. So it's like you're a finger, or you're a toe, or you're an eye, you're an ear, you're a nose, you're a mouth. You became, when you received Christ, you became an individual part of a body, of a bigger entity, of this big one. You became a part of this big one. Now, as Americans, we don't always like to hear that because, you know, I want to be an individual. You know, I want to do something unique with my life, to which I would say, yeah, you know, you're unique. Absolutely, you're unique. But when you became a Christian, you became a part of this big one. You became a part of the body. And as we go on from here in this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice three key truths that I hope will open your eyes and will stretch your thinking when it comes to this whole involvement thing. So check this out. Number one, when we serve with others, we're able to exercise our divine enablement. I'm going to tell you a little more about what this divine enablement thing is all about. We're able to exercise our divine enablement for God's purposes. When we serve with others, we're able to exercise our divine enablements for God's purposes. So it goes on in verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, and we've been talking about this big one, all us united, but now we're talking about us as individuals, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, when it talks about grace here, it's not talking about saying grace like Adam Eel, Frank, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about grace in the sense that at times we talk about grace. We talk about saving grace, grace that is ours as we receive Christ. This little word grace here refers to a divine enablement. Okay, a divine enablement. In other words, God has given every single Christian, this is so good, God has given every single Christian a specific thing that you do well. Okay? You don't do everything well, but there's certain things that you do really, really well. And for example, some of you are really good with people, relationally. Man, you're just so good at interacting with people. You're good relationally. Some of you are really good at organizing things. You walk into a situation and you just almost immediately go to organizing things and getting everything where it needs to be and in place, and you come up with systems and all this stuff. I mean, it's like intuitive for you. I mean, for some of us, it would take us like four times as long to organize something. But you just walk in and you just go to organizing and it's just like, whoa. And people at times may even ask you, how do you do that? How is it that you organize things so easily? And you don't even know. I don't know. It's just so natural for you. You just do it. What is that? Well, that is a divine enablement. That's a divine enablement. That's something that God has given you. So here's the deal. Every person who is a Christian has a divine enablement. Whether you realize or not, you have a divine enablement. I don't understand how it all works, but every person in this place who has put their faith in Christ to be the Savior, the leader of your life, you have a divine enablement. That's what this verse here, that's what it's getting at. That's what it's saying. And it says, Christ, look at the verse, it says, Christ apportioned it. That means everybody doesn't get the same gift, and everybody doesn't have the same level of giftedness. There are certain environments, man, where you shine, and you just shine in those environments. And then there are other environments where, you kind of struggle, okay? You stress out. Everybody is different. So here's the big question. The big question is why? Why? Why did God gift you and design you the way he has? Why did God set you up to be so good at some things and set you up to be so bad at some things? And for some of you, your kind of automatic gut assumption may be, well, I think God gave me the abilities and the gifts that I have so I could make a bunch of money, so I can make a lot of money. No. No, that's not why God gave you the gifts and the talents that you have. Now, you may leverage those gifts, the abilities that God has given you, and you may make a lot of money as a result of that. But that's not the reason that God gave you those gifts and abilities. Now, here's why the context that we just looked at, why this is so important. There is this big oneness, right, that we just talked about. There is this big oneness that all of us who are Christians are a part of. And within that oneness, there's individuality. Within that oneness, there is uniqueness. And within that oneness, there is different gifting. And the reason that God has gifted you, and the reason that God has gifted me the way that he has, is for us to bring our gifts together so that in conjunction, all of us together with our different giftedness, in conjunction, so we can do something together that none of us could ever accomplish, none of us could ever do effectively on our own. That's why he's given us these gifts. Now, in the next few verses, it goes on, and the Apostle Paul does kind of a little sidebar type thing. And he talks to the Jewish people to basically say that the psalmist back in the Old Testament talked about this. So he's kind of tying Jesus back to the Old Testament. We're going to skip over some of those verses because that's not really the issue that we struggle with. But in verse 11, he picks back up with this subject. So we're going to skip on down to there, verse 11. And it goes on and says, so Christ himself gave. And then he lists, gives us a list of divine enablements. So Christ himself gave the apostles, okay? That's the people who walked around with Jesus. And Christ himself gave us the prophets. Those are people who are very black and white, very right and wrong oriented. You've probably been around some people like that. Maybe you're married to someone like that. That at times can be a little bit rough, a little miserable. You're trying to compromise and work through something. And they're like, no, it is right or it's wrong. And they're just, that's the way they see it. And until individuals with this gift right here, until they mature and they balance it out with acceptance and love, it can be a little bit rough. But we need individuals with this gift. We need them in society. We need them in the church. And it says some of the divine enablement that people have is the evangelist. He gave his son to be evangelist. These are people who can talk with others about Jesus and they don't get stressed out. And the people that they're talking to, don't get stressed out. It just kind of comes across as natural. While for a lot of us, we go and we try to talk to people about our faith, and it's kind of hard for us. We get nervous and uptight, and sometimes the other person gets a little nervous and uptight. We look at others though, and it's like, man, it just seems to come so easy to them, and we're kind of jealous. Like, man, this just doesn't even seem fair. It's so natural for them. Now we all have, if we're Christ followers, if we're Christians, we all have the responsibility to share our faith with others. But some have a giftedness, and they're just so incredibly natural. It's just natural for them. And then it goes on and says, then there are the pastors. Some have that gifting. These are people who are just pastoral. They kind of shepherd others. In other words, they care for they're real good at caring for people. And some, it says, are teachers. Okay, and these are people who have a gift of teaching, who when they teach, people go, wow, yeah, okay, I get it. Wow, that really connected some dots. That was really helpful. And then there are others who when they teach, it's just big yawn. It's like, I didn't understand anything they were saying. And this isn't a complete list. This isn't an exhaustive list. This is just a partial list of some of the gifts. And then it goes on in verse 12 and says, this is why he gave these, to equip or prepare his people. This is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the primary reason, okay, get this, the primary reason, it's saying right here, God gives us these divine enablements is not for our benefit, but rather the primary reason why God has given us these divine enablements is to build up the body, to build up the church, so that we can do something together that we could never accomplish on our own. That's why God has given you the gifts, the divine enablements, the talents that you have. So, number one, when we serve with others, we're able to exercise our divine enablement with others for God's purpose. Number two, second key truth I want you to get from this passage of Scripture is that when we serve with others, we as the church, okay, as the body, represent Christ in a powerful, powerful way. Okay? When we as the church, when we as the body of Christ serve together, we represent Christ in a very powerful way. When the body, we're talking about the church, when the body functions properly, it becomes a powerful, almost like riveting reflection of Jesus. So let me try to explain this. I mean, this is unbelievable. It goes on in the next verse. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Whoa. What in the world does that mean? Right there. This is incredible. Here's what it's saying. And this is actually taught throughout the New Testament. Okay, essentially, it's saying when we all come together as a church, we come as close as we're going to come to reflecting, as it says here, the fullness of Christ on earth. Individually, we can't attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I mean, none of us are that good. But as a whole, okay, as a whole, with all the gifts God gives us, because he's going to give some Jesus' ability to teach, and he's going to give some Jesus' ability to express mercy, to show mercy and compassion. He's going to give some the ability to encourage and some the ability to lead. And when we come together and use our gifts in tandem, it will be as close as anyone ever gets to being in the presence, like the physical presence of Jesus. That's what happens when we all come together and use our gifts for God. Don't miss this. This is powerful. This is huge. What that means is this. The best thing that we can give our community is not our individual gifts, us kind of functioning as lone rangers, just kind of out there independently on our own. The best thing that we can give our community is to use our gifts and talents in tandem with others. Because when we come together, Jesus promised, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I am there in a powerful way in their lives. And some of you internally, you may be thinking, well, but can I just be alone and use my gifts for Jesus? Not in the same way as when you come together with other believers to use your gifts in tandem with them. You see, we need to personally be telling people about Jesus and sharing our faith and living out our faith. But equally important, in fact, the focus of the New Testament is on the body coming together, this big one, the church with all of the parts, the hands, the feet, the ears, the eyes, all the unique parts functioning together. Because when we do, Christ shows up in an unmistakable, overwhelming, just powerful, powerful way. So you see, the best thing that we can do to impact our community, the best thing that we can do to reach our unchurched, disconnected friends, unbelieving friends, besides just loving on them and being good examples to them, is to use our gifts in tandem with others. And when we do, there's just something powerful that happens. And the truth is, that's why many of you have become a part of this church. And it's why over the years, I've had many of you come up to me and say, you know, the first few weeks that I was here, man, I just couldn't hardly keep from crying. I mean, it was just like there was something that was happening, something that was going on there. That's not just because of the preaching. That's not just because of the music, as good as the music is. That is this verse right here in action. When the body acts like the body, it's as close as you get to being like in the physical presence of the Savior. That's what's so powerful about us coming together. So number two. When we serve together, we as a church, as the body, represent Christ in a powerful, powerful way. And then number three, the third thing that we see in this passage of Scripture, when we serve together, is we grow spiritually. We individually, in our own lives, we grow spiritually. It goes on in verse 14 and says, then, if you get plugged in and you're using your gifts strategically, then we will no longer be infants. Now, this is amazing here. It's going to say that your individual spiritual maturity hinges on your willingness to use your gifts with other Christians. Now, for some of us, this is breaking like new ground, because for some of us, we have lived our lives thinking that if we'll just read and study the Bible for ourselves, and we will pray, and we'll be committed to God, and we'll just live in our little individual bubble doing those things, and we're just going to grow and grow and grow and grow, and we're just going to grow and grow and grow and grow in our lives. And that is not the biblical model. It says, no. Do you want to grow and mature spiritually? Yeah, I want to do that. Do you want to go deeper in your relationship with God? Yeah, I want to do that. Then you've got to connect in the body. If you want to grow to the level that God wants you, where you want to be, you need to connect in with the body. So it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It's talking about not getting tripped up by people who aren't following Jesus, who aren't following his teachings. It goes on in verse 15 and says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. As we come together, we're going to go growing, and we're going to go becoming more and more and more like Jesus, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body. And then it goes on in verse 16 and says, from him, that is from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, and here's that word again, grows and builds itself up in love. And then catch this last phrase, as each part does its what? What's the word? Work. As each part does its work. This is unbelievable. He's saying, look, if you want to grow spiritually, it's not just about prayer and Bible study and Bible reading. It's not. I mean, that's a part of it, okay? That's an important part. We need to be praying. We need to be reading our Bible. But it says part of our spiritual growth hinges on our willingness to connect with our gifts in the body. In the church. Let me try to illustrate this, and this is going to be kind of gross, but just hang with me. Let's just say we had a little kid, and we cut off his hand. It was gross. We took his hand, and we put his hand in a box, and we just put that aside. And 10 years went by, and then we brought this little boy out, and the hand in the box out, and the boy has grown. I mean, you think about it. What would have happened over those 10 years? You cut off this hand. Over those 10 years, what would have happened was this little boy without a hand, but he would have grown. He'd be bigger, and all the body parts, his feet, his toes, his ears, his eyes, all of it will have grown and would have been healthier. And together in tandem, the whole body that's still united to the body, every aspect of his being would have still grown. And it would be healthy and flourishing. What would have happened to the hand in the box? It'd be gross. It will have shriveled up. It'd be smaller. And eventually, you know what's going to happen to that hand that's disconnected from the body that's detached? Not only will it shrivel up, eventually it'll just turn into dust. This passage and the whole New Testament teaches this. As committed as you are, as much as you love God, if you are not connected with your gift to a body, not just your presence, but if you're not connected with your gift to the body, not simply your presence, then you're going to be like a disconnected body part. You're going to be like that hand. And there will always be something that's a little bit off. There will always be something that hampers, that kind of hinders your spiritual growth, your individual spiritual development. So here's what I'm saying. You may want to write this down somewhere in your outline. You don't have to. But my maturity individually hinges on my service corporately. My maturity, individually, my maturity, my spiritual life, individually, it hinges on my service corporally, my service in the body, my service as a part of the church, serving with others, what it does is it just moves us to a whole nother level spiritually. Now, to be honest, the biggest pushback that I typically get in messages like this, and I understand this, is that someone would just say, you know, Paul, I believe you. Paul, I believe the Bible. I believe God's word. I love God, and yeah, and you'd go on all this stuff. And you say, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. So let me just push back just a little bit on that. The truth is, most of you, in fact, that would probably be all of you, but let's just say most of you who would say, I don't have the time, the truth of the matter is you do have the time. You just don't want to make the commitment. And I understand that. But it puts you in a little bit of an awkward situation with God. Because if you were honest and you were to pray then, and that's your heart, say, I just don't have the time, then here's what you should pray when you come to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for sending your son into the world to die this painful death, to pay the penalty for my sin. Thank you, God, for making it possible through what Jesus did for me to be able to have a relationship with you. And God, thank you for all that you have done for me. Thank you for your blessings in my life. Thank you for my health, and thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my wealth, all the things that I have. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my fiance. Thank you for giving me and giving me and giving me and giving me and giving me. And God, thank you for giving me so much. And God, thank you for blessing me and blessing me and blessing me. Thank you for all these things. And God, I want you to continue to give to me. And God, I would love for you to continue to bless me in my life. Thank you, God, for all these things. But Heavenly Father, you have blessed me so much that I don't have time to give back to you of these gifts and abilities that I have leveraged to be able to experience all these blessings. But God, I don't have time to plug in these abilities and gifts that you've given me, where you originally designed for these gifts to be plugged in. But God, thank you for all that you've done for me. And God, I know that the talents and abilities that I've used to make all this money and have all these blessings, I know you gave them to me. And God, thank you for that. But God, I don't have time for you, but God, thank you for that. And please continue to bless me. And please continue to give to me and continue to give to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you would never pray like that, right? But that's in essence. And let's get real. That's what we're saying. Here's what's going to happen. When you get off the sidelines, though, and you do begin to serve and use the talents and the abilities that God has given you. Even at one point you thought you were so busy and you didn't have time. It's like, oh, these the people that serve there, yeah, man, they may not have any time. What you're going to discover is that the people that you're working alongside of, they are extraordinarily busy. It's not like anybody we got serving here, they were sitting at home going, man, I have no idea what to do with my time. I am bored to death. What could I do? You know what? Maybe I could go to the church. Maybe I could volunteer. Maybe I could do something there. I don't know. Maybe I do that a little bit of time. No, that's not what you're going to find. What you're going to find is some busy people that you're going to start serving with. You're going, man, I thought I was busy. Man, these people, man, they're doing all these different things in their life, and they are serving God in this way. Whoa, look at that. And what you're going to discover is it's not just about filling a slot, but what it's really about is what God wants to do in you. And what it's really about is God wanting to leverage your gifts and your talents and your abilities with those of others in conjunction with others to allow you to be a part of making an eternal difference in other people's lives. Whether it's by greeting people, or it's being a part of our sound team or our lighting team or our production team, or helping in our children's ministry with Adventureland or our cafe, or wherever it may be, serving with facilities, support, you're going to realize, wow, I get to be a part of creating the environment. They're almost like irresistible, where people show up and they go, wow, something's going on here. And I don't understand it all. I'm not even sure I believe all this stuff, but man, something's happening here. And I want to be a part of that. That's what you're going to discover. But if you're just sitting on the sidelines, you're going to miss out on what we believe is the most important mission in the world. But you need to understand, God never intended for us to use our gifts and our talents just on our own. Here's the bottom line. You jot this down there on your outline. We're going to put it up here on the screen. The bottom line is we have been called to do something in tandem, in conjunction with other Christians that we can't accomplish on our own. We have been called, we have been designed by God Himself to do something in tandem, in conjunction, in partnership with other Christians that we can't accomplish. We can't do on our own. We get to be a part of something bigger than just ourselves. So my challenge is for every teenager, every adult here who believes that God has used this church to make a difference in your life, to make at least a 3-month commitment and say, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to commit myself to using my talents, the abilities that God has given me in tandem, not just on my own, but in tandem, in conjunction with others to do what I can't do on my own. That is my challenge to each of us. That's our challenge, to be the body, to be a part of what God invites us to be a part of, this big one. And say, yes, I'm an individual. Yes, we have uniquenesses and all those things. But we're going to come together and we're going to use those gifts, those talents that we have in tandem and in conjunction, do what none of us can even begin to do on our own. Now, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer in just a moment. And then you're going to hear just a few brief stories of individuals. They have stepped off the sidelines and into the game. And then you're going to hear a song. And then we're going to come back and we're going to tell you about the opportunities and how you can get involved and be a part and use the gifts and talents that God has given you in conjunction with others to be able to provide these environments where God is making the difference that He's making. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that each and every one of us here, that we would choose to say, God, here are my talents, the abilities, the gifts that you've given to me. And God, I want to take these and I want to use them in tandem, in conjunction with others, to accomplish what I can't accomplish on my own. God, I pray that you would help us to see what we're missing out on by being on the sidelines and just watching. And God, I thank you for the spiritual growth that individuals are going to experience in their lives as they begin to use their gifts in conjunction with others. And God, I thank you for the blessings that you're going to bring to our community, to the blessings that you're going to bring to those who need to connect with you and those who need to connect in a church family. Lord, my prayer is that we would be responsive, that our hearts would be sensitive and open to you. God, do something in each person's heart here today. Lord, my prayer is as we join together that we would leave a legacy of love that comes from pointing people to Jesus and using the gifts and talents that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.